You are listening to Faith Church's sermon from this week. We are a church that is committed to loving Jesus for life and loving others to life. We hope that this message encourages you to follow Jesus with your whole heart.
So today we continue with our sermon series, Encounters with Jesus. And one of the things that we learned last week was that when you encounter Jesus, it is very hard to remain the same. You cannot encounter Jesus truthfully and honestly and walk away the same as you walked going into the situation. This morning, we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 5. Again, Mark chapter 5, verses 24 through 34. It's a story where a woman runs into Jesus, and we'll find out what happens in just a near future. We've all heard this statement before, or at least I think we have. Desperate times call for desperate measures. It's attributed to Hippocrates, an ancient Greek physician. I think we can safely say that our world has experienced some desperate times over the past 2 months, almost 3 months. In our sermon series, we are looking at encounters with Jesus, as I said earlier. And in those encounters, we are seeing what we can learn from the people who encountered Jesus at some rough times in their lives. The woman we are about to meet in Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 34, is in a desperate situation. She's been bleeding for almost 12 years. She has exhausted all other hopes. She has burned through her money on doctor visits, and she is at the end of her rope, literally. She indeed follows the saying, desperate times calls for desperate measures. And what she does in her desperation is really what we should do in ours. Let's take a look again at Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 34 together. One of the synagogue leaders, Jairus, comes to Jesus in verses 21 through 23 and begs for his daughter's healing. So that's what happens in the first couple of verses of chapter 5, 21 through 23. We'll pick up the story in the second part of verse 24. And here's where we'll find out about the desperation of the woman. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. There's a few things we need to know here in Mark chapter 5. First of all, Mark tells us nothing, very little, about why she is bleeding. Most commentaries agree that it is a problem, that it was probably a uterine bleed, because it was not only debilitating her, but she was also religiously unclean, so that any pious Jew would not have contact with her. If you want to read more about that, you can go to Leviticus chapter 15, verses 25 through 30. So this presented a problem. She's bleeding. She needs healing. Jesus is a pious Jew. And she knows that the only way that she can be healed, or she thinks the only way she can be healed, is by touching his clothing. It's clear by the standards of that day that this woman's days are numbered. It's not looking good for her. Her days are almost over. It's unlike these days where she would be in a hospital and getting blood transfusions and everything else. Those kind of things were not available to her. She would be dead if this Jesus doesn't come through. Mark's mention here in verse 26 of the medical field is not to downplay it. Mark is not bringing up that she spent all she had on doctors and trying to figure out what the problem was and she got worse more than better, to downplay the medical field or whatever. But it was to show that Jesus's power is way over any other power. You see, Mark wrote that not for his own good, but for those of us who would come later and read this passage of scripture and say, whoa, here's a woman who gave all she could give to the medical field. She did all she could do with the medical field, and she is not being healed. In fact, she is getting worse until she encounters Jesus. In her desperate situation, she believes in ancient thought that a person's power is extended to one's clothing, even to one's shadow. Let's look together at Acts 5, verse 15. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. See, there's this thought process back in that day in the biblical times that if someone had power, healing power, you could experience that through their clothing, through touching them, through whatever. It was radiated through everything about them. And we read in Acts where Peter is healing and things are happening in Peter's life, and the people are literally just even trying to get a glimpse of his shadow so as to hope for healing. But then we turn back to Mark chapter 5, verse 29. And in verse 29, Mark is clear with a few things. You don't notice it in the English, but in the Greek, you definitely notice it. His use of tenses. The verb translated in the NIV here is stopped. Her bleeding stopped is in what's called the aorist tense, which means it was a completed action. This isn't she's bleeding terribly and now she's only dripping blood. This is as soon as she touches the outer garment of Jesus, it is stopped. There is no more blood. Mark is clear in his gospel that this is exactly what happened, because he changes the tense so that all of us coming along later would realize this isn't a little bit of blood here and a little bit of blood there. This is completely stopped. And then the verb translated freed literally means healed. That verb is in the perfect tense, which usually depicts the lasting effects of the action. What are we getting at? Here's what Mark is saying. He's saying to his readers, this was an immediate action. This woman went from bleeding for 12 years straight to no blood. And not only was it an immediate action, but in the present tense shows us that it was an action that lasted for the rest of her life. This wasn't healed for a little while, and if we met her long down the road, a couple years down the road, it was back. No, this was a lifelong healing. This encounter with Jesus changed this woman's life. She went from being debilitated to having a life again, to being the outcast of the city, because she couldn't go anywhere. With her bleeding problem, she was marked unclean, unrighteous, all of those things, almost treated as like a leper. And her world has changed, and now she's allowed to go to social events, and she's allowed to be a part of things because of her encounter with Jesus. But then we turn to Jesus' reaction to the woman's desperation. Here's what happens in verse 30. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd, and he asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding around against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you asked, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, and told him the whole truth. Now this encounter, this healing, is different because it takes place without any conscious effort on Jesus's part. You know, you've heard the healing where he spits in mud and he rubs the mud on people's eyes and they all of a sudden see. You've heard the healing where he touches someone and they get up and they walk. This is someone who pressed up against him and took his power and used his power to be healed. He stops almost immediately. He looks around. Who touched me? The disciples, actually Mark is about the only one that talks about this. Matthew doesn't even bring it up, and Luke downplays the tone of which the disciples are talking, but Mark, in all of his candor, he brings it up. There's actually a sarcastic tone to what the disciples are saying. "Are you kidding me, Jesus? You want us to tell you who touched you? Do you not see the crowd that is pressing up against you?" Now there is debate. Does Jesus know already who touched him? Now you might say, well, of course he did. This is Jesus Christ, our Savior. He knew. But this cannot be answered with a quick answer. What? Because remember, as one commentator put it, self-limitation of the earthly Jesus is not incompatible with the all-knowing power of the risen Christ. Ultimately, my friends, it doesn't matter, does he know who really touched him or not? Because here's why. The question isn't being asked for Jesus' benefit. It's being asked for the woman's benefit and to ultimately, I believe, bring her to a confession of faith. In verses 32 through 33, it is clear the woman is scared to come forward. Why? Well, there is lots of thoughts of why. I'll read some of them. Maybe she was scared because she, quote, made a holy man unclean. Maybe she was scared because she delayed Jesus on a mission to go heal Jairus's daughter. Maybe she was overtaken by awe because of the fact that 12 years of bleeding had just stopped because she touched Jesus's garment. The Gospel of Mark is clear, showing us here the realness of the moment and saying that everyone who encounters Jesus needs to come to a confession of faith. That's the drive of this conversation. Jesus understood that someone took his power and was healed from it. But you see, Jesus is not only in the business of physical healing. It would be a shame for him. To him, it would break his heart if this woman came to him, found power, found healing, and yet walked away without a relationship with him. But here's what Jesus says to her in verse 34 when she finally comes, falls at his knees, and tells him the truth of what she did. Listen to verse 34. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Jesus says to her, this isn't about the physical touch. This isn't about your faith or some kind of magic that happened. So he goes on to tell her, you have been healed, not only physically, but spiritually speaking. And then he speaks peace over her. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. In order to remember, in order to figure out the ramifications of that peace, remember, biblical peace does not mean the absence of war or hard times. No, it means peace in the war or hard times. Because of a right relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's his teaching to this woman who had a very serious issue, was basically, to put it into blunt terms, bleeding to death. Comes in an encounter with Jesus, reaches out in the middle of the crowd, pushes her way through, and touches his outer garment. There is a lot here. I'm going to take a look at some application from this morning's encounter. Here's the first one. No matter how long you have suffered, no matter how much you have paid for your suffering, you will only find hope in the power of Jesus Christ. Period. She looked for the hope of the world. She looked for hope in the medical field. She looked for hope in other areas. But the only place that we can find hope in the midst of suffering is in Jesus Christ himself. Secondly, no matter how desperate you are and no matter how many distractions are in the way, you must seek out Jesus, even if it's just to touch a piece of his garment. I step back and I think of this COVID-19 situation. There's so many things going on. Or maybe there's a situation in your life and there's so many things going on. And there's so many obstacles to getting to Jesus. He is somehow way over there and you have to do what you can to get to him. This story in Mark chapter 5, this woman could have said, "Ah, look at the crowds. I'll just go try some other avenue." But something deep down in her heart, something deep down in her stomach, something deep down in her said, "This is my opportunity." And I guess when I sat back and prepared this message, I wondered how many times we let distractions get in our way. I should really go to Jesus about this, but I'm going to go and try to find out what this person thinks or that person thinks, because, you know, Jesus is pretty crowded. Number three, you are the mission of Jesus. You are the mission of Jesus. Remember back when she was scared to come out, and one of the reasons she could have been scared is because Jesus was on a mission to go heal Jairus' daughter. And so she was concerned, did I take him off a mission? Let me assure you, Faith Church, let me assure you, those who are watching on YouTube this morning or wherever you are watching from, you are the mission of Jesus. You cannot take him away from the mission when you are involved in him and with him, because you are his mission. He loves you and he wants the best for you. Number four is, sometimes the only thing we can do is reach for a little bit of Jesus. Sometimes we're so tired. Sometimes we're so frustrated. Sometimes we're so angry that the only thing we can do is reach for a little bit of his garment and hope and pray we get enough. Number five application, remember Jesus is far more interested in you coming to him and growing in him than just calling upon his power. Basically, what we're saying here is that Jesus is not interested in being your genie. He's not interested in coming out and giving you three wishes and then showing his power by granting you those three wishes and then being put back in the bottle and not followed and not leaned upon and not learned from. Jesus is far more interested in you coming to him and growing in a relationship with him than just calling upon his power when you need it, like a grocery store list. Number six, nothing you have done will make Jesus unclean. This woman was so concerned about Jesus being soiled, that Jesus being soiled through her touch, that she was fearful to come out and admit that she touched him. No matter how dirty you are, no matter what you have done, you may be saying, but Pastor, you don't understand what's in my past. I do, and I know he does. And there is nothing that you can touch him with. There is nothing that you can come to with him with that will be too unclean for him to deal with. One commentator goes on to say in this story, Jesus constantly pushes back when the Jewish leaders of the day want to make it about holy, being ready for religious duty. In other words, they want to make it about cleanliness and making it about washing their hands properly and making it about making sure they're not touched by this person or touched by that person. And Jesus doesn't play that game. No, when Jesus sees a leper, he goes up and touches the leper and heals him. When there's a woman who is bleeding and is unclean, he does not get upset with her from touching him. The only reason he calls her out is to make sure that she understands that this is about more than just his power. This is about living in a relationship with him. And last, the peace of God comes through a personal relationship with him. I love the way one church sign put it way back when I first became a pastor. No God, no peace. No God, K-N-O-W. No peace, K-N-O-W. If you have no God, N-O, you have no peace. If you know God, you know what true peace is. And so it's appropriate that Jesus ends this story by sending this woman off with a peace that passes all understanding. A woman for 12 years who has struggled with this debilitating situation, has not nowhere to turn, turns to doctors, and it seems like the things are getting worse. And Jesus does not want her to leave his presence without knowing peace. And the only way to truthfully know peace, friends, is to know God. Period. And so today, in this encounter with Jesus, may we realize that when Jesus encounters desperation, he responds in grace. When Jesus encounters desperation, he responds in grace. He understood this woman's desperation. He got that she needed him. But he also understood that she needed him even more than she may have realized she needed him. And so today, maybe you are struggling with a COVID-19 situation or any other situation, and you don't know where to turn. and there's all these obstacles in your way of getting to Jesus. You have a load of excuses. The church has burned me. They're full of hypocrites. I would agree with all of those things. The only reason that I stand here today is because of the grace of Jesus Christ. I don't stand here because I'm a good person. I don't stand here because I don't have anything wrong with me. I stand here because Jesus, in desperate times, replies with grace. And he wants to do the same for you right now, as he did for that woman in Mark chapter 5. Maybe you aren't bleeding for 12 years. I hope not. But boy, you're defiled. You've missed the mark more than once. You've made decisions that aren't wise more times than you can count on your hands and feet. And yet Jesus stands and waits. Will you pursue him? Will you call upon his name? And will you engage him in a relationship with him? Those are the only ways to find true peace in the midst of a desperate situation. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this encounter in Mark chapter 5. We're so thankful for what you did in that encounter. Here's a woman who's weighing all the options. Do I touch this holy man and make him unclean? What do I do? And Lord, it seems just so mysterious. She reaches out and touches your garment, and she's healed immediately, forever. Lord, I know there are people that are watching this morning that are defiled. They may not be bleeding like this woman, but they're defiled by religious definitions. They do what's opposite of what you want them to do. They've tried all the other things. They've gone to, quote, doctors. They've gone to, quote, books. They've gone to, quote, whatever else. And what they need is a piece of your garment. What they need is you. And so, Lord, in this moment, I pray that you would help them to turn their eyes on you. It's the only way they can have peace. It's the only way that desperation can be dealt with in their lives. And Lord, we know by the statistics that we're hearing that there are lots of people out there that are in desperate situations. And in those desperate situations, it calls for desperation, for moments of desperation. It calls for us to do desperate things. And may one of those desperate things that we do is to call out to your name above all else.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope that encouraged you in your walk with Christ. You can find out more about Faith Church at wearefaithec.com.